Is there a difference in the work done by a naval chaplain if he is caring for the crew on a surface sailing vessel and if he's caring for the crew of a submarine? Monsignor Paul Donovan is a principal Catholic chaplain for the Royal Navy. He comments.
The Submariners have got a very distinct culture amongst themselves. They refer to themselves, and we refer to them, as the Silent Service. And their day is very much all work. They work a watch system so that they're either off watch or they're eating and sleeping. And because of the nature of their work, they have a real sense of pride in doing the detection and the defence of the country. Those on surface ships, of course, have got other aspects of their lives that they can enjoy because there's much more room, there's an upper deck with sunshine, and generally because of the nature of the ships, there's a greater number of people around in order to do the jobs. Rather like in the days of sail, warships were manned in order to fight the guns, and therefore there were always lots of people around to hoist sails. Whereas in merchant ships, there were many fewer people to do it. Similarly. In our warships, there are many more people around than there are in a submarine. And therefore, the chaplain will do different things in a surface ship to what a chaplain might do in submarines. Let me give you an example. Sailors are very generous people, and whenever a ship goes away, a ship will adopt a charity and will do a number of charitable events in order to raise money. And when you've got an upper deck and you've got space to do that, then you can be quite creative. And the chaplain will often take a lead in organising these events or getting other people to organise them. Now, that's much more difficult in a submarine, where the only space you've got might be space for a stationary bicycle or a single piece of weightlifting equipment. And therefore, the chaplain's role will be different on board the ship when it comes to just adding that bit extra to the ship's life, to what the chaplain will be able to do in a submarine.
I was amazed when I saw how narrow a submarine is. And I realised then that there was so much less space for the crew on board. And it seems to me that to be a chaplain to a submarine environment is, well, it's a vocation in itself, because not everybody could cope with it.
Yes, the space which you've got in a submarine is significantly less than you'd have in a surface ship. The space in a surface ship is not great. For example, in my last ship, HMS Illustrious, my bunk was only 2 feet 6 inches wide, and that's several inches narrower than even the standard single beds in Britain. In submarines, you've got much less space. But it's amazing how people do utilise what space they've got. They become very inventive about where they can store things. But it's certainly not a job for the faint-hearted, and it's certainly not a job for those who are expecting creature comforts. And one of the great things, I think, about what life in the services does is it does change the priest as much as the priest changes the people. And because you're living exactly the same life as those you're ministering to, you're wearing the same clothes, you're eating the same food, you're sharing all the same conditions as them, then you become a part of your community, visibly a part of your community, in a way which is very distinct to the way that a priest in a parish would become part of that community. And people do regard you as one of their own, even though they might never come to the church service on a Sunday. They do regard you as one of their own and will be very protective of you.
And it seems to me as well that in your work Yes, you're saying that the priest himself has changed, but it seems to me that when you're living in an environment which is potentially life-threatening, even if it never actually becomes so, you'd learn to put faith down at ground roots level rather than up in the branches and unrelated to life. So it seems to me that it would give the great possibility of openness and understanding and acceptance, perhaps more than you would in an ordinary parish.
Yes. I think you're quite right there. One of the roles which a chaplain will find him or herself doing, because we have female chaplains in the Navy as well, one of the roles which the chaplain will be doing for people is helping them understand the situation that they're in, articulating for them what it is to be going to war, what it is to be in the line of fire, what it is to be in harm's way, so that they can grasp it, understand it, and therefore put themselves into it instead of constantly being at odds with the situation in which they find themselves. And whenever we do go to war, or whenever we do find ourselves dealing with the aftermath of other people's wars, for example, helicopter crew plucking out of the water, someone who's been shot by pirates, then people do look to the chaplain to help them to get their minds around this, to understand what their role is, to understand why it is that they're doing the right thing by doing what they're doing. And that's a great privilege to be in on someone's coming to terms with often these life-moving incidents.
Yes, because God can be very close in those moments.
Yes. I think one of the images which has stuck with me during my time in the Navy is Paul the Areopagus addressing the people after he'd walked around the marketplace in Athens. He said to the people, "As I walked around, I saw there your altar to the unknown God." And he tells them, "What I've come to do is to give that God a name." And our sailors have often got a great sense of something beyond themselves. You can't go onto the immensity of the waters and not be moved by the sight either of the tumult of the waves or the glassiness of a great expanse of sea, you know, as you move, for example, through the Indian Ocean. And they've got a sense of something bigger than themselves. And the chaplain has got a privileged position to help people to give a name to that presence and to get them to see it for what it is.
Yes, because there's the Breton fisherman's prayer, isn't it? "God be kind to me, the sea is so wide and my boat is so small."
Yes, I was always very struck that President Kennedy used to keep that on his desk, that there was someone who was, you know, arguably the most powerful man in the world, but still a sense of vulnerability, a sense of needing God. And, you know, if a sailor or anyone in uniform is going to be in harm's way, they've got a sense of something bigger than themselves. And the chaplain physically represents that to them. But I think emotionally and intellectually can help them grasp that presence is a presence around them. No matter what might happen to them, that they're never far from the hand of God.
That's an extremely privileged role.
It is, and I've been delighted that successive bishops of my diocese allow me to continue in this role. And it's something which, when I go back to my diocese, when I leave the Navy, I hope to be able to bring back to me.
Yes, because you're based in Portsmouth now, aren't you?
That's right. I'm based in the Fleet headquarters in Portsmouth, and as I speak to you, I'm looking out at the ships in Portsmouth Harbour. And when I left my last ship and I began to realise that that was going to be my last night at sea, I actually felt that part of my life was drawing to a close, that it's been a wonderful experience. I've been very privileged to have seen as much as I have done over the years. But now I'm now in a role whereby I will not be going back to sea as a member of a ship's company, but simply to be one of the directors of the Naval Chaplaincy Service.
Yes, I can understand that must be hard. But it must be very good for the crews when they come into port to know that you're there for them.
Yes. One of the great things I think about the service is we constantly meet people throughout the course of our service and then meet them again. And I've always made a real effort to learn people's names. And when you bump into someone after several years and you can call them by their name, even though you might not have seen them for 5, 10 years, it really does help their sense of self-esteem that someone that they look to has made the effort to remember their names. And a small thing like that goes a long way to give people confidence in you as a priest and person. And it, in its own way, I think, teaches other people the value of looking after the individual.